And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for you. God bless each and every one of you. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. And I know that that can seem so incongruous in conflict with everything that's going around us. But you know what? I don't care. You know, this joy we have, folks, the world didn't give it. Don't let the world take it away. And this peace we have, the world didn't give it. Don't let the world take it away. Okay, just absolutely bask in the knowledge that you belong to God, that He loves you, has a great plan for your life, and that in spite of what the world and the devil throw at you, you're going to come out victorious. You know, we've read the back of the book. We win. You know, we win. We are on our way to heaven. We are on our way to an eternal kingdom with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we don't ignore reality, and we don't ignore the world around us. We have to deal with it. Jesus said to the disciples that they would be in the world, but not of the world. So we have to interact with the world. We have to deal with the world. But we have victory over the world because that's what 1 John 5 says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So I hope you all are encouraged. And we are so gratified and honored to have an opportunity to speak to you and speak into your life. And we hope be a source of strength and encouragement and good information and maybe even a little entertainment along the way. By the way, speaking of the impact of our network, we are gathering listener stories again because we're preparing for our fall share-a-thon, which is coming up a little later this year. And so if you've got a story of how American Family Radio has made a difference in your life, please give us a call and let us know because we'd like to hear it. You know, it could be a blessing not only to us, but a blessing and an encouragement to others because during Share-a-thon, we will play those stories and let others hear them. Now, we only need about a minute or two, so give it a shot. Call 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893 so that we can hear your listener testimony, your listener story, because believe me, we appreciate you and we want to hear from you. Now, of course, the cat is out of the bag. Biden has finally made his choice, and it's Kamala, where she prefers to pronounce it because it sounds much more exotic, Kamala. It's Kamala Harris. And you know, I've got a guest coming up in the next segment, a good friend, Trevor Loudon, who has been saying all along that Kamala Harris was going to be in this mix, that she was going to be president. And as it turns out, given Biden's age and his apparent infirmity, he may have nailed it absolutely. He may have hit the target in the bullseye because if they happen to win, and oh, God, don't let that happen. but if they happen to win, she would not only be one. In fact, she wouldn't be a heartbeat from the presidency. She might be a half or quarter heartbeat from the presidency, given where Biden seems to be right now, because he really does. I mean, the man just seems to be unraveling, you know, and if he's having these kinds of intellectual and psychological problems, who knows what underlies that. And even he at some point kind of hinted at the fact that he might not finish the first term and that he won't be running for a second. I mean, my goodness. The man is, I think, what is he, 78 now? I think he's 78. And that would make him 82 at the end of his first term. You know, the presidency is no joke. I think it's probably the hardest job in the world today in terms of its demands. And the president who we have now, President Trump, apparently has boundless energy. I mean, they say the man lives on 4 hours of sleep a night and that he's always been that way, always been full of energy. Well, Biden, staying in his basement, just seems to be the opposite of that, that he completely lacks the energy to do the job and gets easily flustered when asked very direct questions that he should be able to knock out of the park. He gets flustered and confused and doesn't know where he is half the time. I mean, it's not looking good. So we may be looking at a Kamala Harris audition for the presidency. And for somebody who couldn't run a presidential campaign, couldn't get to base one, I mean, she dropped out about 2 months before the primary, before the primaries closed. I mean, so she didn't even make it to the finish line. To now be a heartbeat from the presidency is, if they win, is really kind of a stunning turn of events. So we'll have my guest share with us why he thought that Kamala Harris was going to end up in a very significant position, either winning the nomination. I think she's just a terrible candidate, and maybe she'll be a better vice presidential candidate, but I think that's why she couldn't get anywhere as a presidential candidate, because she's just a terrible candidate. To me, she comes across as lightweight and silly and inconsistent and you know, completely hypocritical, locked up a bunch of people for using marijuana, then chuckled about her having used it herself. I mean, this is not... she is not the paragon of authenticity that people are usually looking for in the folks they vote for top offices. But and then again, I mean, they elected Obama and Biden. So, you know, yeah, we the American people don't always get it right, but I certainly hope we get it right on November 3rd. But look, you know, here's the interesting thing that I just learned. I didn't realize this. I mean, I knew that the woman was inconsistent and all of that. I did not know that Kamala Harris has a more liberal voting record in the United States Senate than, get this, even than Bernie Sanders. How do you get a more liberal leftist record than Bernie Sanders? But she does. She's managed it. And that just goes to show, because the New York Times, when he made the appointment, described her as a pragmatic moderate. So either they're ignorant and haven't done their research at all, or they're just liars, just straight out liars. And probably they don't do their research when they know it would produce something that they don't want to say. So they just, so you know, they're for all practical purposes, they're lying because they're willfully ignorant. There's no way you can call Kamala Harris a pragmatic moderate. That's a joke. But this information, I read this in a story in Breitbart. This information was developed by a nonpartisan group called GovTrack, and they explain exactly how they measure candidates. They're not conservative or liberal. They just measure where the candidates are based on their votes. And they've got Kamala Harris rated as the most leftist senator in Congress, in the United States Senate, way past people like Amy Klobuchar and even Cory Booker and even Ed Markey, sitting atop the heap, even more leftist than Bernie Sanders. Wow. That's who Biden has nominated. Folks, the Democrat Party has become a wholly leftist Marxist party. And we'll talk a little bit about our policies, but a little bit about our background too when we come back with my guest, Trevor Loudon. Stand by. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. At just about every protest rally across America, you hear the words, "Hands up, don't shoot." These words were supposed to be the words shouted by Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, before he was killed by police officer Darren Wilson. Talk show host Larry Elder calls it the Ferguson lie on a PragerU video and spends more than 5 minutes explaining why it is a lie. Author and columnist Michael Brown refers to it as the Ferguson lie that will not die. He has an interesting angle to this topic because he shares the same name with Michael Brown. A few years ago, a colleague of his suggested he sign up for Google Alerts. That will let you know when the name Michael Brown appears in the news. For years, he says, at least 4 articles a day mention the death of Michael Brown. Most write that his last words were, "Hands up, don't shoot." That is not true, but the myth is perpetuated every single day and reinforced at every protest rally. Take the time to watch the PragerU video or read the article by Michael Brown. You will discover that numerous investigations, local, state, and federal, concluded that Michael Brown did not say this and also concluded that Darren Wilson did not overreact to the threat against his life. For example, the Justice Department did conclude that the Ferguson Police Department engaged in a pattern or practice of conduct that violates the 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendments. But it also concluded that the evidence did not support charges against the police officer that shot Michael Brown. In previous commentaries, I've attempted to debunk myths that have been spread in the political realm and even in the scientific realm. This myth deserves to die because it not only misrepresents what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, but is also used to perpetuate another myth about police officers in America. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by August 31st, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Why aren't college students excited about Senator Kamala Harris? Her ancestors owned slaves. What about that? Why was she the first candidate to drop out of the Democrat primary, and her support among black Democrats plunged to 1% right before she dropped out? Plus, she prosecuted the man who exposed Planned Parenthood. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. And we've got with us my good friend Trevor Loudon, who is an author, researcher, filmmaker. If you haven't seen the film Enemies Within, you ought to check that out. We'll talk a little bit about that and how you can. And there's a new film coming out that we'll talk about, too, that I think may well be more important even than the last one, given where we are right now in our country. Trevor, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, look, thanks for having me on, Bishop. Always a pleasure.
Hey, listen, Trevor, Kamala Harris, I said to my audience before you came on, you were the first person to say to me that Kamala Harris was probably going to be the presidential nominee. And in one way, you've proved to be right, because some people think Biden will not finish out his first term. And we may, if they were to actually get elected, which I pray that doesn't happen, but if they were to, we would end up with a Kamala Harris president. What made you think that it was going to be Kamala Harris?
Because I monitor the networks. See, what this comes back to is the Jesse Jackson campaigns of 1984 and 1988. Now, Jesse Jackson ran for president on a rainbow coalition strategy, uniting all the minority. That's what he did it. And his campaign was completely run by pro-Maoist, pro-Chinese communists. Now, those same people now have infiltrated the Democratic Party to such a degree that they're rerunning the Rainbow Coalition strategy. One of the key players is a man called Steve Phillips, who was one of these Maoists in the Rainbow Coalition. He married into a huge fortune in San Francisco with $2.2 billion, the Sandler family fortune, and became a big wig in the Democratic Party. He was behind, he's behind Mike Espy, for instance, who's running for senator in Mississippi. He was behind Andrew Gillum, who almost won the governorship of Georgia, behind Stacey Abrams, who almost won the governorship of Florida, and Stacey Abrams, who almost won the governorship of Georgia. And he was the man who got Barack Obama ahead of Hillary Clinton. He chose Kamala Harris some time ago because they've got to run a female, and she's got to be of color. This is the recipe. You know, you unite the minorities behind left-wing candidates of color. And Kamala Harris comes out of the exact same stable that Barack Obama came out of, Mike Espy comes out of, Kamala, Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum. You know, far-left, radical, Marxist candidates of color, preferably female, used to unite the minorities to form a winning coalition. That's what Obama did, and that's why they had to have Kamala Harris on the ticket this time. She was supposed to be the candidate, but she flamed out. So now they've got her in through the back door.
Right. Well, now, Trevor, the New York Times described her as a pragmatic moderate. And from what you're saying, that is nowhere near the truth. I mean, where ideologically, what's her background? Where does she really fall on the spectrum?
Well, the New York Times denied there was a famine in the Ukraine when 10 million people died. They denied Pol Pot when he killed 2 million Cambodians. So you don't listen to the New York Times. look, Kamala Harris's parents were involved in the African American Association, which became the Black Panthers. They were Marxists, hardcore Marxists. Her father was an openly Marxist professor at Stanford. They actually hired him as a Marxist because at that time they didn't have enough Marxists on the faculty, and they wanted some balance. So he was an affirmative action Marxist. Kamala Harris was a radical in college. She, when she went to San Francisco, she became the lover of Willie Brown, the pro-communist mayor of San Francisco, the guy who had worked with the Communist Party for years, even after dating Kamala, and is now China's best friend in the Bay Area. And she has worked with the hardcore left in San Francisco her entire career. And then she got picked up by Steve Phillips, the Marxist, Leninist, Maoist multimillionaire who made her what she is today. She has got pro-Chinese communism all through her resume.
By the way, Steve Phillips wrote this book, Brown is the New White, in which he outlines the strategy that you're setting forth right now. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. He's actually put it out there that this is the way to win elections now. You unite minorities around the far left minority candidates as a way of mobilizing them to get them out to the polls. I mean, it's just that manipulative and that stark, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very racist. It's very extremely well thought out. It's scientific. That Steve Phillips wrote a book, and he is the mentor to Kamala Harris, called Brown is the New White. It was a New York Times bestseller. And what he says, real simple, you know, the minorities are, if you add the minority left-wing population to the minority white, left-wing white population, you actually have a majority. So forget about the middle. Don't worry about the middle anymore. Just go for hard left candidates and preferably women, preferably candidates of color, and unite the minorities, and that's how you win. And that's the strategy that Mike Espy is playing on today in Mississippi.
Which would explain why the Democrat Party no longer moves to the middle now. They're moving further and further and further left because they think this is the key to their electoral success. Right? I mean, that's their strategy now, right? Because it used to be conventional wisdom used to be you run to your base during the primary.
Hello?
Then you – yeah, can you hear me, Trevor? Did we lose him? Trevor, can you hear me? Okay. Folks, we'll bring Trevor back in a second. But this used to be, as I'm sure you all remember, the conventional strategy was – that you run to your base during a primary to win your primary, and then you move back toward the middle to try to bring the middle of the voters onto your campaign, convince them that you can be trusted with the power of the office that you're seeking. Well, the Democrat Party no longer does that. I think Republicans, frankly, still do. That may be part of our problem, but Republicans still do. They run to their base during a primary, and then move toward the middle in an election. I'm not so sure President Trump did that. We got you back, Trevor.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not
That's
sure
okay.
what happened.
But yeah, so that but what you just outlined is why the Democrat Party no longer moves to the middle. They're moving further and further left, aren't they?
Yeah, that's their new strategy. You know, instead of spending. This is very logical. Instead of spending billions of dollars trying to entice 1 or 2% of people in the middle to their side, they're spending billions of dollars mainly in the South and Southwest, signing up millions of minority voters who lean Democrat but don't normally vote. That is the strategy, to get those people to the polls. And that's how Stacey Abrams almost won Georgia and Andrew Gillum almost won Florida and what put Barack Obama in the White House. So they needed someone like Kamala Harris on the ticket. And we all know that she is really the real presidential candidate. Joe can hardly tie his shoelaces. You know, she is going to be the candidate whether Joe lasts till the election or not.
I just find it interesting, Trevor, that you were predicting this very, very early on. And here we are with Kamala Harris really sitting in the catbird seat. Now, Trevor, what do you think of the general move of the Democrat Party toward really Marxism? Why are they going so far left? Why are they supporting the looters and the robbers and the rioters and, you know, the people who are destroying property and even killing people. And they don't want to put them in jail. They don't want to punish them. I mean, how did they get to a point where they're way out there where you could really call them communist?
Well, that's right, Bishop. This is, you know, and the unfortunate thing is there's a lot of good, loyal Americans out there today who still vote Democrat because they think they're voting for Harry Truman or JFK. They do not realize the Marxist left has taken over the Democratic Party. Now, this started back in the Vietnam War era, you know, and so all those young radicals who marched for the Viet Cong, who supported Fidel Castro and the Nicaraguan Sandinistas, they're now in their 60s or 70s. They're now running the Democratic Party. They're running a lot of universities. They're even running a lot of businesses now.
Hey, Trevor, hold your thought right there. Let's come back, and we'll talk about this some more, and we'll talk about a project you and I are working on together. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some years ago, several soldiers were having a good time in the Soldiers Entertainment Center. Someone began playing the piano, and a crowd gathered. Soon the man playing the piano struck up a very familiar tune, and several in the crowd joined in singing. Some of you who are old enough may remember the song. It goes like this. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Well, someone in the crowd recognized the man playing the piano. Do you know who that is playing the piano? He asked the soldier next to him. That's Felix Lloyd Powell, the man who wrote the song. You know, many wish life was as simple as the song suggests. It would be a neat trick if we could pack up our troubles in an old kit bag and spend the day smiling. But unfortunately, life doesn't operate that way. Some things in life cannot be tucked away and forgotten. It's true that many try to pack up their troubles. They try various bags. Some try the bag of alcohol only to find that the trouble is still there when the hangover is gone. There's an old saying that the fastest way out of town is on a good cheap drunk. The only catch is that town is still there when you wake up. Still others believe their troubles can be packed up in a dope needle. They try that bag. The only catch here is that the troubles won't stay in the bag unless we push another needle or eat another pill. And when we stop, those same troubles are still there, looking us in the eye. Police in Tacoma, Washington, found a note on the body of a 20-year-old, well-dressed youth. In part, it said, "Dope ruined my life and took away my happiness forever. I could never live in a state of mind I was in." How we humans wish we could take a pill or push a button and our problems would be automatically solved. Some years ago, a financially secure man told me that mankind was on the verge of building utopia here on Earth by his own initiative. Then, he said, we can solve all our problems. One wonders sometimes if what we are building isn't closer to a Hades than a utopia. Unfortunately, you can't take a pill or push a button and get at the inside of a person. Life simply doesn't work that way. But we can find help for our problems. God will help us. He may not lead us to a quick, easy, and simple solution, but He will help us. And when they get too heavy for us to carry, we can turn our troubles over to Him. At least it will get the weight off of our back. The music soon stopped in the Soldiers Entertainment Center. People went back to other things. In a few minutes, they heard a gunshot. Going to the room where the gunshot came from, they found Felix Lloyd Powell dead. There was a revolver in his hand. Don't put your troubles in an old kit bag of any kind and continue smiling. If you can't handle them, turn them over to God. He can help.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. My guest is Trevor Loudon, and we're talking about, well, we're talking primarily about Kamala Harris, but also about the Democrat Party's lurch to the far Marxist left. And Trevor, you were saying this all began really with the Vietnam War, or certainly accelerated during the Vietnam War.
Yeah, and it really picked up again in the 90s, because that was when the Communists of Democratic Socialists of America took over the unions. They took over the AFL-CIO. And if you control the unions, you effectively control the Democratic Party. So they started making policies that were implemented by the Democrats and determining who the Democrats could elect. So they purged the moderates, and they basically made a far-left slate right across the top of the Democratic Party. So now the Democratic Party is a communist revolutionary party. And people need to realize that before it's too late, because one more election is all they need to basically have complete power over this country, and they will never give it up if they get it.
Now, I thought it was interesting because you mentioned Willie Brown and his relationship with Kamala Harris as her mentor and someone with whom she apparently had an affair relationship. And he was urging her not to be a vice presidential candidate. And I just thought that was interesting because normally – yes. Can you hear me? Have we lost him again? Okay, Trevor. Okay, well, folks, okay. You know, this. Okay, we'll get him back. But you all, in fact, I really want to give you all an opportunity to talk to Trevor and ask him some questions. But we got to get this whole line situation squared away first. Either way, I'll talk to you. The number is 888-589-8840. I'll talk to you about all of this because Trevor and I have been working long enough together, and I've been doing some research of my own. I've got some things to say about this stuff that I think you'll find interesting, helpful. But Willie Brown apparently has had close associations with the far left and with communists and socialists for a long time, and he was urging Kamala Harris not to accept the nomination for vice president. And I could only speculate that he was concerned that not only their relationship would come out and be examined, but his associations would also come under scrutiny as someone with whom she had a long-standing and intimate relationship. Trevor, we got you back?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So, Trevor, the question I was going to ask you is Willie Brown, he was urging Kamala Harris not to accept the vice presidential nomination. Is he concerned about the things that might be revealed as her background gets scoured with a fine-tooth comb?
Yeah, look, I think so. Look, Willie Brown has worked with the Communist Party since the early 1960s and still was working with the Communist Party several years after his affair with Kamala. And now he's Communist China's best friend in the Bay Area, and he has helped the Communist Chinese become a major force in that area. And I think he would be open to major scrutiny because he was the man who really got her started. He gave her some jobs that gave her a lot of money for a little work. He promoted her political career. She would be nothing without Willie Brown, and he's a communist. Simple as that.
And obviously their relationship began. And by the way, I don't even know this. I should. Is she married?
Yes, she is. She married a guy about, he's a lawyer from Los Angeles, married him about four or five years ago.
Because
but,
I know.
She was okay. About 30 when she had the relationship with Willie Brown when he was about 60.
Right. That there was a major age disparity. And apparently that relationship went on for quite some time. And was a big help to her career.
Oh, now, extremely. That got her started.
So before we get into some of these other folks on the Democrat side and some of their associations, you and I are working on a project called Stand Against Communism. And Trevor, you have just done some outstanding work and really provided a lot of leadership and support for Americans who, frankly, have not understood just what we are up against. But let's talk a little bit about the Stand Against Communism and then how people can get in touch with you. Let's talk a little bit about the movie that's got coming out. But talk about the Stand Against Communism. Why, you know, when we first started this a year ago, there were people who would look at you and go, Stand Against Communism. But nowadays, I think people are much more open and receptive. But you've been seeing this coming for a long time. Yes, can you hear me? Okay, well then, you know what, folks, we're gonna, Trevor, we're gonna end the interview there. I don't know what's going on, but we don't want to keep doing this. In the meantime, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I'll go on to tell you about what Trevor and I are doing together. We're working on a project called Stand Against Communism, which we started about a year ago, and we've been working together since. And what we're doing really is trying to make sure that the American people are alerted to the fact that we are now facing a Democrat Party that has been wholly taken over by Marxists and leftists and socialists and, frankly, communists. Now, these are not card-carrying members of the Communist Party. I'm not suggesting that. But they are so enamored. We talked about Trevor, in fact, did a video on Karen Bass, which I think you can find on our Facebook page, about Karen Bass. Well, Karen Bass, her involvement with Fidel Castro and Cuba and communism goes back decades. And here again, is she carrying a card around saying, I am a communist? No. But it's clear that that's her ideological perspective. And the same is true for so many of them that you wouldn't even suspect. When we get Trevor on, we'll make it a point to get Trevor on again. We won't have these line problems. When we get Trevor on again, you know, he'll talk about the background of Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden's son's involvement with communist China didn't just spring up overnight. Joe Biden has a long history of involvement with the far left and involvement with socialism and communism. This is nothing new. So when his son goes over to communist China and does a $1.5 billion deal, that's really just in the normal course for them. I mean, it's probably bigger than anything they've done before. But in terms of their involvement, you heard Joe Biden say himself, these are good folks talking about the communist dictatorship of China. These are good folks. They're not our competition. Well, you've got to be bought in order to say something that stupid. You've got to be bought lock, stock, and barrel. Because any American with an ounce of common sense knows, A, of course they are our competition, and B, they're communist totalitarian dictators. They're not good folks. Now, I'm not saying that the Chinese people are not good folks or that there's nobody good among the Chinese people. We're not making a claim about the people themselves, but we are making a claim about the nature of this regime. It is evil. And Xi Jinping, by the way, if you read about Xi Jinping is setting himself up as another Mao Zedong, somebody who is a demigod, who is to be worshipped and to be in the long history of the communist emperors, is to be kowtowed to. You all remember that I had on the author of a book about China, and he said that that's where that expression comes from, because people were to bow before the emperor and bash their heads until their heads bled, and that was called kowtowing. And that's exactly what Joe Biden has been doing with communist China. So this is not an election, therefore. That's what our project Stand Against Communism is about. This is not an election between, as I've said, moderate or center-left and center-right, and they compromise and they work things out, and you know, you come to an agreement that you think is going to benefit the country, where everybody gets some of what they want and nobody gets everything they want. No, this is not that anymore. This is now those of us who hold to our country as a constitutional republic based on Judeo-Christian values, now opposing people who want to destroy that, who want to destroy it. And that's what this election is all about coming up. You know, it's freedom versus tyranny. It's good versus evil, right versus wrong, and the Constitution versus communism. Back in a moment.
AFA
Excellence. Repairing the
American Family
Radio. Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
It's more vulnerable, and it also takes intention.
Aaron Smalley on Focus on the Family Minute, explaining why you may not share your deep personal feelings with your spouse.
And I think we don't understand that when we're dating and we're engaged, we are doing that naturally because we're so locked in and focused. And then we train each other that, well, maybe it's not so safe to go to those deep places.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's going to lead to conflict and disconnection. One of the number one human needs that we have is we long to be known and to be valued and connected. And so it's vulnerable. There's a lot at risk. And so to recognize that if we build this safe place in our marriage, that we can intentionally go there. And the awareness of we need to intentionally go there. We did it all the time as we pursued each other wholeheartedly. There is no autopilot. We've got to continue to pursue each other at that level.
More from Aaron at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, just in terms of background, I was aware of this, that Kamala Harris is biracial. She's of Indian Tamil descent and Jamaican. And I guess her Jamaican father is of African ancestry and... let's see, is it that? Yeah, I think her Jamaican father is of African ancestry, and her mother is of Indian ancestry. That's her background. But you know, it's interesting that they refer to her as black, and it's really quite unclear to me. That's really quite the case. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but you know, that's convenient, as Trevor Loudon was pointing out. They want, the far left wants minority women of the far left because they really believe this is the way to mobilize the racial identity vote. And so Kamala Harris, I guess, is the person that she meets the requirements. She fits the bill. And so they're going to use her to try to manipulate, mobilize people. And it'll be interesting to see whether she proves to be a better candidate for vice president than she was for president. Her mother's name is Shamalia Gopalan. And I guess her father's name was Donald. And so I don't know, folks. You know, all of that doesn't really matter to me, but apparently it matters a great deal to the far left. And in addition to that, she is married, as Trevor pointed out, and she's married to an entertainment lawyer. His name is Douglas Emhoff. And I guess they got married back in 2014. So she's been married about 6 years. And I assume that is her first marriage, although I'm sure a lot of information is going to come out about her now, because in spite of what the conventional wisdom says, well, the vice president really won't matter. It'll be back to focusing on Biden. I think because of his age, there's going to be a lot more focus on Kamala Harris than there has been on any other vice presidential candidate in recent history. I guarantee you that. the fact that she is, again, folks, they playing the race card, the first black woman vice presidential candidate, is going to give the far left plenty of ammunition to launch against Republicans and plenty of reasons to celebrate her as just the best thing since Mother Teresa. Guarantee you. As you could, I saw some of the clips of what the media was saying about her having been picked, and they were just saying, oh, this is a big deal. Oh, they were breathless. This is a big deal. And she is charismatic. Yeah, but the thing is, she wasn't charismatic apparently to run her own charismatic enough to run her own campaign, not just successfully, but even effectively, because she proved to be a weak candidate, having gotten started, you know, launched with a lot of fanfare, but she proved to be a very weak candidate after Tulsi Gabbard got a hold of her in one of the debates and questioned her about some of her prosecutorial behavior. I don't think Kamala Harris ever really recovered. So she wasn't good on the debate stage either. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out and whether the left strategy of choosing minority women as a way of trying to mobilize the minority vote proves to be effective. I can just say this. I look forward to the day when all of this identity politics ends. And the only thing any of us care about is this person competent? Does this person have decent character? Does this person care about our country, care about the American people, want to do what is right, want to preserve our freedom, want to honor the Constitution, want to uphold the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great? Does this person want that? Then the color of their skin and their gender are meaningless, as far as I'm concerned. That just, who cares? But apparently the left cares. That's apparently all they care about. Notice they didn't say, these 100 black men who wrote to Biden didn't say, we want you to choose a competent candidate. We want you to choose a candidate of character. We want you to choose a candidate that wants to bring us together as Americans. No, you must choose a black woman. And that's the extent of the qualifications, apparently. For those on that side of the political spectrum. Kind of sad. 888-589-8840. Let me get some of your calls in here. And we apologize for the technical problems, folks, but we'll have Trevor back. Yeah, let's go to Galen in Texas. Galen, welcome.
How are you, Bishop?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, listen, we've been listening to the conversations and just wanted to throw something else into the mix. You just mentioned that Kamala is married to Mr. Imhoff, who is Jewish. So I think there's probably going to be a connection towards trying to get the Jewish vote out. He's originally from Brooklyn, and his parents are very left of moderate. Not big supporters of Netanyahu on some of the things that I read this morning. So I think there's an interesting line to study there, as well as I just saw some information I thought I'd throw out there. She's very good friends with Alexander Soros, who happens to be George Soros' son.
Uh-huh.
Which is also rather interesting. So there's some lines for people to look into as you begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and you can see the puppet masters behind the whole thing.
Wow, that is really fascinating. And yet, they're trying to sell the American people that she's a, quote, pragmatic moderate.
Correct. You know, it's Willie Brown should tell us enough right there.
Yeah, how about that? And the fact that he did not want her to take the nomination, I think that speaks volumes. I don't know why some enterprising reporter hasn't gone to him and said, why? Why don't you want her to take the nomination? We would think you would be supportive. But, of course, they don't want to do that.
It would likely be from your network or maybe OAN or somebody like that, because you're not going to get it from the rest of the media.
Right, right. Because they don't want to hear the answers to that kind of question. So, okay. Well, listen, Galen, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Good information, too, by the way. Let's go to Debbie in Kansas. Debbie, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thanks for taking my call. Hi. I listen to you every day at lunch, so I'm on lunch right now.
Well, thank you.
But my question is, what does the Bible have to say about these leaders, these people that are in power, making deals with evil countries like communist China? Like, doesn't the Bible have something to say about when you're in a position of leaders, they're not looking out for the best interests of our country, for sure.
You are right. I mean, Debbie, the Bible has a lot to say about it, more than I have time to get into. But I think often of Hosea 8:4, about 4 through 7 or 8, chapter 8, verses about 4 through 7, where it says, "You set up kings, but not by me. You establish princes, but I do not acknowledge them." In other words, you choose evil leaders. And then it goes on to say, "You sow the wind and you reap the whirlwind." In other words, choosing evil leaders is asking storms into your life. And then there are so many others. I mean, David said, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, that I looked for him and he could not be found. I sought him and behold, he was not. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." I mean, there are lots and lots of scriptures, of course. And God admonished the children of Israel every time they chose a wicked leader, every time a wicked leader took over Israel, God judged the entire nation for it. So the Bible's got a lot to say about the importance of godly leadership that cares about the people. It also talks about priests and prophets who speak not for God, but speak for themselves. And instead of serving the sheep, fleece the sheep. So, yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about the importance of leadership, of integrity. And Lord knows, given the fact that we get to choose our leaders, the last thing we need to be doing is choosing people who hate the country as it's presently constituted and want it to be something other than what God intended and our founding fathers gave us. So yeah, it has a lot to say about it, Debbie. Good question, though. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome. I think you're going to be the last up.
Hey, Bishop. I was hoping to get you in, Mr. Loudon, but maybe he's still listening. But I wanted to get both of y'all's ears because I've asked you before. But anyway, I know Georgia's not the most battleground state, but like Trevor said, Stacey Abrams came within a gnat's eye of winning our governor election a couple of years ago. So I just want to ask y'all, please do a stand rally or stand meeting, whatever you guys call it, in Georgia, man. I'd love to have y'all, middle Georgia or southwest Georgia particularly, but if you need to come to Atlanta, if that's where you got to do it, man, I'd love to be able to go to a stand rally and meet you guys. And anyway,
Wesley,
kind of keep that in the back of your mind. I know COVID's made things difficult, but anyway.
Well, Wesley, thank you for the invitation, and I will keep that in mind. You're right. COVID is kind of slow things down, but things are picking up again, and I've been doing quite a few engagements. We haven't set up any because trying to set up something from out of town is even that much more complicated because of COVID. But you're right, we can't take anything for granted. Georgia's not a battleground state typically, but we can't take it for granted. We can't take anything for granted these days. Well, listen, thanks so much for you all for listening and praying for us. And sorry, like I said, about the technical problems. We'll get Trevor back. Believe me, Trevor and I are good friends. He'll be back again, and we'll have all that straightened out. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.